I was also pretty dumb as a kid, so I probably actually didn't know.
They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
You're potentially the face of a franchise. I don't want that face to be that of an asshole.
Russ Ivanek.
Taking out of my logical mind for a minute. He's just fun to watch.
And Justin Marcus.
Just park the khaki elephant in the room. No.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. Got a lot to talk about today. It's all football. Everything football, because Lions football is officially back in Detroit, and we couldn't be more excited. So let's get these guys on right now and get talking about it. Russ Ivanek, how you doing today, buddy?
I am doing all right. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. I'm so excited. Football is back in Detroit. We got it.
1 week closer to actual games that I can watch all the way through.
Yeah, one week closer to games that actually really matter. But for right now, hey, we're the best team in the world right now because it doesn't mean anything.
And we still didn't win.
Yeah, we still didn't win. And we have to bring in an expert because, as we know from years and years of knowing him, he was born smart and always will be smart. He was never a slow individual. Justin Marcus, how you doing, buddy?
I you are so condescending. It's not even funny.
Not even remotely. You're a brilliant, brilliant little man.
Hey, I resent the little part.
You resent you resemble? Yes.
All right, so like I said, I resent everything you're saying. Yeah. No, how you doing, man?
Your attorney will be in touch soon. Doing great, buddy. You above all, because over the last couple of weeks you've been talking about how much you were itching for it. How satisfying was it to have football back in your life last week?
It was exactly what I needed it to be. It was a mind-erasing, numbing medicine of sitting down and watching a football team that has a lot to work on. So it felt like every other Sunday of last year. So for that, I'll take it any day.
Now, but after you turned off the Cleveland Browns game, did you put on other football games or was it just the Cleveland Browns? Because you said a lot to work through. So I assumed you were watching Cleveland.
I watched anything I can get my hands on, dude. I might be changing my opinion on Baker to be maybe more pro-Baker.
But it
was good.
Yeah. Well, welcome over. We're very happy to have you. It's the Baker Mayfield train all the time. We love it. It's just great. All right, so let's talk about the one game we actually unfortunately have to cover, and that was the Detroit Lions' loss to the Oakland Raiders. Chucky's back. And, you know, we'll talk about the one play that kind of stood out to me. I'm assuming everybody saw the Marshawn Lynch, you know, just NFL Madden highlight reel run. They got called back on the hold. Is it just me? I didn't know Marshawn Lynch was that fast.
He's deceptively quick. He's like quicker than fast because you'll catch him when he's in the straightaway. But in a box, old man Lynch is still quick.
I mean, it's very true though. I mean, when you think of Marshawn Lynch, your first thought is like power runner because he knocks people over along the way, but. You know, to see him, like, get through the hole and have the opening and burst, I did not expect it, and I was quite impressed, actually. I really was. I did not think he was that fast, to be honest.
Well, when our line's getting held like it did, it had a gaping hole from him to break through on the left side there. he's still fast, but, like, can't do anything when your body's being turned around because someone's holding you by the collar.
And what I think's hilarious is, I'm looking at the stats right now, he would have been second on the team in rushing if that run had count. But because it didn't count, he doesn't even have a recorded rushing stat for the game. So that's kind of a little unfortunate.
It doesn't bother him.
Oh, yeah, no, he doesn't care. He don't care. He was still standing on the bench flipping his dreadlocks around like it was nothing. I guess since we said it was one of the things to look out for, the first thing we'll really talk about is we'll lead off with Russ here. Russ, what did you see in terms of that QB battle? What did you see out of Castle and Rudock? And what was your opinion of the fact that going into the two-minute warning at the end of the game, we decided to take Rudock out and throw Castle back in there?
So I saw a whole lot of please Matt Stafford never get hurt.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. It was very discouraging to watch them. And as odd as I found the whole, you know, taking Rudock out for the two-minute drill thing, it helped the case to get Castle off this team because he fumbled and did the exact thing that you don't want to do. So Matt Stafford healthy, you do that by avoiding the Castle curse. He looked bad, so as bad as they looked, it looked good to me, if that makes any sense at all.
It makes enough sense for me to follow it. I guess I'll ask point blank. Again, this is week one. We're going with a very small sample size. Week one, if Stafford, God forbid, does go down, who would you, of the two, who's the guy that you're saying, okay, I feel a little bit more comfortable knowing that it's him as opposed to him?
Oh, God, I wouldn't feel comfortable with either one of them.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll take Rudock because I know Castle probably is better right now. I mean, if we're just talking about he has to play like a week seven game, right? He's probably better prepared just because of his experience. But he's already at his ceiling.
Yeah.
Rudock, who knows? He could be worse, probably, you know, if we just throw him in there for one game. But the limited upside he may have, who knows? Maybe you get lucky that the team doesn't have as much film on him, doesn't know his tendencies.
Yeah.
There's an extra unknown factor there that we're already in a huge disadvantage playing one of them. Might as well roll the dice one more time.
Yeah, that's fair. Justin, I want to talk to you about the running game because I know how much you love your boy Kerryon Johnson. But my one question to you, staying with the quarterbacks, is the history that Castle and Patricia have, is that something that you think gives him the leg up over an unknown, to Patricia anyway, Jake Rudock, even though Rudock has the more experience with the Lions?
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe because they have connected on a past level, but again, like kind of what Russ was saying, I think we're one injured Matthew Stafford from having a top three pick next year. Like, he's the linchpin to this whole team. If he goes down, we're screwed. So you can put anyone you want in QB. We're not going to get the results that we need to be competitive. So if he has that connection with Castle, use it. But I don't trust either of them at all whatsoever. We put either of them in, our season is over.
Yeah.
So they better be addressing that need next year.
Well, that's a lot of confidence. I mean, just today, Jacksonville Jaguar defensive back Jalen Ramsey was quoted as saying Stafford's just straight. He's not the best. So that's a lot to say that if we lose Stafford, we're a top three pick. But I have to agree with you. As someone who watches Matt Stafford every chance I get, the guy is, you know, pretty much the linchpin to this team. If we lose him, it's going to blow up pretty fast. And my two cents here, I like Rudock. And I know Justin's going to say the Michigan connection and all that. It really isn't even that. I remember Rudock at Iowa. I thought he was a good quarterback. He's been here longer. He's got some chemistry with these guys. Granted, this is the NFL where players change teams like crazy. But still, having that chemistry, he's been next to Matt Stafford every day for the last few years. He gets that, you know, he can hopefully get some by osmosis. I would go with Rudock. Castle is the proven starter, but honestly, I don't want Matt Castle on my team. I just really don't like him. So, carrying on, we're going to go to Kerryon. Justin, what did you make of the Lions running game? Again, this is preseason, first game. We don't have a lot to work with, but what we did see, we saw Kerryon be effective when, you know, given the opportunities. LeGarrette Blount, obviously only 5 carries for 21 yards, didn't do a lot, but didn't look bad in the time he had. And then Amir Abdullah, 4 carries for 16 yards, but they used Amir in a lot of different ways. Do you think that Amir playing in all these different facets gives him his best chance to make this team, or are you kind of in this position where Amir's on the outside looking in and you don't really see him getting a chance to get back into the permanent rotation?
All right, so both questions. Kerryon Johnson is the Lionbacks' number one running back.
Wow, okay.
Like, point, period. He should be starting week one. Against the Jets, I believe. Amir Abdullah, I think he's making a case to be on a team that's just not our team. I would not be surprised if we're just using it as trade bait. If we get him out there, perform all these different tasks, be on special teams, I don't care. Become a cheerleader with the Lions, go defend the den, work at the concession stadium. They need to move him out. We have such a log jam at running back. I hope that's the case, that Abdullah project is over. We tried it. It didn't work. And he's on his way out, and Kerryon should be the number one RB.
Okay. Russ, I want to know what you think about that too, exactly more kind of the rebuttal to Justin, but I want to add one little thing in there. Kerryon was also effective in the passing game. Do you think that maybe because that's Riddick's little, you know, facet, for that he's a runner who we also can trust in the passing game. Do you think that kind of puts Riddick in a dispensable position? We've got a younger guy who can run the ball, and he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. Now Riddick becomes expendable because Abdullah is effective in the return game and special teams.
I'd say no. I don't think it makes Riddick redundant. It, I mean, if we're talking about having three top running backs, I want at least one of them to be able to do something that the other two can. Right? So Blunt's more of a runner, Riddick's more of a catch, more of a receiver. Kerryon can do both, and you're going to need at least two running backs that can do both of those things. So I don't think him contributing in the passing game is anything but a help, and it doesn't take anything away from Riddick. If we want to talk about redundant, I'm still going to come back to Amir Abdullah because, yes, he contributed in the rush, he contributed a little in the receiving, he contributed in special teams, but you can point to someone on the roster who does better at all of those spots. Yes, he's trying to make a little bit more of a name for himself on special teams with returns, and last year he was actually one of our better kick returners. But Jamal Agnew does those same things, and he also plays defense. And he seems a little bit close. His spot seems a little more safe than Amir Abdullah's does. And what scares me is, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the one sack that Castle took on a three-step drop.
Yeah.
Amir Abdullah was the running back there and completely missed his pass throw assignment there.
He whiffed on that
one. You can't have a quarterback get sacked on a three-step drop. So he's not doing the little things as a running back. He's not really standing out as a returner, although he's proving his youth there. I mean, if he wants a spot, he's got to be able to do things like that. But if anyone's redundant right now, I think it's him.
Okay, that's more than fair. Since, Russ, you seem to be the guy that when we're talking about this, defense is something you had questions about. I want to ask more for you. There's two names that, as I'm looking through this, obviously other guys did things, but stats get a little more inflated depending on playing time. The two guys I want to ask you about, one, was it good for you to, after the injury last year, to see Kerry Hyder out there and playing football again?
Oh, absolutely. That was one of my big notes. He didn't really stand out a lot, but, I mean, hey, to come back from that kind of an injury.
Yeah.
Yes, that was very encouraging just to see him out there with the starters at the beginning.
Well, and three solo tackles, that's a lot to ask of a guy who's coming off an injury. But, you know he's out there, your adrenaline's pumping. My other guy, because this guy stood out to me, and again, only had three total tackles, two solo, and a draft pick of us. That's Deshaun Hand. He stood out to me a little bit. What did you see from him when he was playing? And is he a guy that gives you confidence that, oh, here's someone who we could see being a contributor in the near future?
I'll say I think we need him to be a contributor. I didn't see too much out of him, and I also don't want to put too much stock into, hey, it was his first preseason game of his career.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a whole lot of anything out of the defensive line as far as the pass rush goes, outside of Anthony Zettel getting pressure a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Hand's really – he's a guy that I'm watching in this next preseason game, as he's got the opportunity. And I think he has the talent. He has the ability to go out and do this. So I haven't seen anything on the pro level that's made me think, hey, he can do it. But, I mean, seen plenty on the college level that thinks he should be doing better than he is now.
But I also, to be fair to him, and I agree with everything you just said, I also don't think that in this one game sample size we've seen anything from him that says he can't get there. There's definitely
absolutely
the potential. We're not trying to say the potential's sucked out there. We've seen what we need to see. He's gone. The potential is still there, and there's nothing. He did nothing in this game to make me think, oh yeah, you're not gonna be able to. Like, he didn't get taken out by a guy he had no business getting taken out by. He actually had a couple pass deflections. He was
right.
Very, very active in the game, and I really liked that. I liked that a lot. I hate doing this. This is going to hurt so bad.
Uh-oh.
Flipping over to the other side of the sidelines, Justin's boyfriend, Connor Cook, had a very good game, and honestly, an NFL-worthy game against us. He went 11 of 19 for 141 and a touchdown, 98, almost 99 passer rating, averaged 7.5 yards an attempt. Justin, How nice was it to see a guy who, for all intents and purposes, was relegated to being strictly a backup for the rest of his career as long as he's in Oakland?
I'm not going to lie, even though it was against the Lions, I absolutely loved it, but I knew it had to be jaded. There had to be something that was just not adding up, so I had to dig into it a little bit.
Okay.
The Lions had the least amount of hits on any quarterback in the whole entire league in preseason week one. We have one.
Yep.
Everyone else had in excess of one. And not that it matters to this discussion, but they also gave up the most amount of hits on our quarterbacks, letting those guys get drilled. So we're not doing too hot on the line, but when you only get one lick on a QB, and they played three QBs in that game, I believe, anyone's going to stand out and look good. Anyone's going to have a damn near 100 QBR. So the fact that, like, I texted you guys right off the first snap, I'm like, oh, we've got no pressure on the QB. And Zettel was playing great. But we just, if you let a QB stand up there all day and let him read his progressions, and he's going to find someone open eventually. So the fact that we couldn't get to Connor Cook, as a Sparty fan, amazing. Love it. But, you know, it's about the Lions. And if we can't get to the quarterback, anyone's going to stand in there. And a greater quarterback is going to do much more if we can't knock him on his ass.
Yeah, that's more than fair. Yeah, you said three quarterbacks. Derek Carr started the game, 2 of 4, 11 yards. Was in there for one series. Quick out. E.J. Manuel, 4 of 6, 46 yards, almost 8 yards an attempt average, almost 90 in the passer rating. Russ, again, this is, like we said, this is preseason. As a U of M guy, he's not wearing green and white anymore, but did part of you kind of hope to see Connor Cook go out there and struggle, I guess would be the way to say it?
Not for any reason for his college ties, but just for the fact that I wanted to see our defensive line actually put some pressure on a quarterback.
Yeah.
But we were 30th in the league in 2016 in sacks, 20th in the league in 2017, and I'm not convinced that it's improving.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, because we're gonna move on to this week's game. Was there any one person in this game, maybe a young player or a new signee, for both of you guys, whoever, we'll let Jay go first here. Was there any guy in this game for the Lions that just stood out to you? Maybe a guy who's a bubble player who you'd like to see a little more of next game to, you know, maybe push that person into a chance to make this team?
Not so much making the team, because I imagine he will. But it was Zettel. I mean, if he's taking first team reps and he's starting the game as a starter, he was the only effective person defensively from the gate. I mean, everything after that changes, and I'm pretty sure – in terms of plays and play calling and scheme, that all is kind of curbed because they don't want to, you know, show their hand for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I just liked the energy I saw out of Zettel. He was the only dude balling right from the start of the game.
Okay. Russ?
So hopefully he can continue that.
Yeah, absolutely. Russ?
No, I actually 100% agree with Justin. But I went with a guy that really stood out to me, the new Lion. Maybe stood out for me for different reasons than you'd expect, but Levine Toilolo. Holy hell, is that guy big?
Yeah.
he's literally the kind of, I saw him, and I went, wow, that guy's big. Can we get him to play D for the Red Wings? I'm sure Justin would love that. Like, that was exactly my thought. He's a 6'8 monster, and even sitting on the offensive line blocking at his tight end position, he looks like a monster. So, yeah, I don't think he registered a single reception. He was out there blocking well, and if this, anyone in the O-line goes down, or if we want to establish a running game finally, he might actually be a pretty big piece of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, according to this, he didn't have a single target. But I think also for him, he would also be a bubble guy because, you know, Wilson's making this team. Roberts will make this team. It's very unlikely he won't. And a guy that I really liked, and I've told you guys about a couple times, Keem Vallis, he's right on the bubble too because he's a great blocker for this team. And if we're going to have any chance of running the ball, we need that. Now, the guy for me, the guy that stood out and a guy I'd like to see a lot more of to see if he can maybe get a chance, is really at a position we don't need any, like, we don't need to add to because we've already got it. And that for me was wide receiver Brandon Powell. He was on special teams. He 6 targets, 5 receptions, 34 yards. The guy is just a spark plug. He makes... Mm-hmm. And he had the catch that obviously they reviewed a couple times, but he's just a spark plug. He's a guy that can go across the middle. He's very, you know, he's a tough little competitor. And also for me, it's I want to see that what we're going to see what he can do for us, because as we all know, there's a guy on our team, number 15, Golden Tate, who's not guaranteed that he's going to be here after this year. We've got to give him a little bit of money to keep him here, and we don't know that we're going to be able to afford the money he's going to want. So I'd like to see him more for if he's someone that we can either make the squad or potentially have make the practice squad and hold on to, we could get a year with him to develop in case, God forbid, Golden Tate's not a Detroit Lion next year. So that for me was the guy. I liked what I saw from him. He also had a kick return. It wasn't for anything major, but like I said, little guy, shifty, and you know, always got to root for the little man, in my opinion.
Yes, sir.
So moving on, this week we play the New York Giants. Giants are actually in town right now, doing dual practices with the Lions. Simple and straightforward. Russ, what are the things you most are looking for in this game that you want to see from the Detroit Lions? Whether it be at a certain position or just in way we play.
So for me, it's on the lines, the offensive and the defensive line. Offensive line mainly because of that Glasgow injury that has Ragnow at center at that practice today. That I want to see how the backups do there. Joe Dahl had an awful, awful game in week one of the preseason. So I want to see him step up. I want to see, I think it's Wiggins, who could be the left guard that fills in. I just need to see more out of them. We need to have less than 4 sacks in a preseason game given up. And then pass rush. I talked about it a lot already. I just want to see someone other than Zettel put some pressure on the quarterback.
Okay. And any one person, again, we said the player we were looking for, but is there any one person for that pass rush that you'd like to see step up? Obviously, everybody's going to say Ziggy because it's – he's supposed to be the key focal point here, but, I mean, can you see that out of Kerry Hyder? Are you looking to see it maybe out of a linebacker like Jared Davis? I mean, Jared Davis only had one tackle in the previous game. So is there someone on that line that you want to see step into a role here so we know what we're going to have coming through?
I mean, Deshaun Hand, I touched on a little bit earlier, I'd like to see. In a way, I'd like to see A'shaun Robinson more take on some gaps to free up other rushers,
yep,
because he's not as much of a rusher himself, but it would be nice to see one of the linebackers, maybe Jalen Reeves-Maven, you know, come up and put some pressure off the edge. Maybe it's Kennard. Maybe I don't know who, because we haven't seen a lot of looks out of this defense yet, but I'd like to see the start of that progression of pressure coming from a linebacker as well.
I was just going to say, Kennard would have been the guy I would have said. I would like to see a little bit more out of Kennard. Justin, for you, what are you looking at in this game? What's the part that's going to most catch your attention that you're going to fix in on?
So it kind of plays off what you guys are talking about, but I want to see a Matt Patricia defense because I don't feel like I saw a Matt Patricia defense.
Okay.
And again, I give him credit if we're not going to show what we have and what we're working on, but still, you can't just give people the mentality that we're going to be a pushover. And if you're dressed up as QB1 for the day, well, guess what? Your jersey is not going to get dirty because you're not going down. I want to see why we didn't take defensive players in the draft and why Matt Patricia went from a defensive coordinator to head coach. I want to see defense. That's all I want. The Wings don't have it. The Tigers blow. I don't even consider the Pistons a team. And then the Lions, I want them to be that team that plays defense. So that's one piece. Also, Anta, I want to see a sack out of him. Ziggy's got to do something. So I'm really focusing on defense is what I'm getting at. I mean, Carry On, I think he's going to be the number one running back, so he'll probably have a good game. The QB situation, it's not a situation. It's Stafford's team and bust. So I just want to see a well-put-together defensive game by the Lions.
Okay. And, I mean, yeah, I get it. Like you said, you can't show us the full deck, but I'd like to at least see a flash or two of what we can expect out of this team. You know, you don't have to give us the whole playbook, but give us a couple little tastes of what we're going to see so we can kind of know that, hey, what you're trying to do, you can actually do in a game situation. That is for me. The thing for me, I want to see how much more they go with Carry On. I want to see, are they slowly working him in, or is this going to be a guy where in one of these preseason games we're going to say, all right, you're about to get the load of what an NFL running back is expected of. We want to see how you do with it. Because trust me, you're not going to go out there and average 4 yards a carry. There's going to be a couple where you're going to have to – there was one play where he literally had 2 guys in his face as the QB was handing him the ball. He made them both miss and barely got back to the line of scrimmage. I want to see what he does when he's got to face that more than once or twice a game. So that one's for me. And then mine are actually both running back, because the other one for me is I want to see, are we going to continue this Abdullah thing? We're going to see him doing kick returns, being effective in the passing game and all that, or are we going to kind of slowly see Abdullah fade off? We just, you know, Patricia kind of gave him the opportunity in that one game, and that was his one shot. Because if it was, I don't think he did enough to merit being held on by this team. So that would be my opinion for that. Moving on, we're going to talk about we're not really going to cover all the preseason games because there's quite a few, but to keep a touch base on them a little bit, Justin, for you, who are the rookies in the upcoming preseason games this week you're most looking forward to watching play against the teams?
All right, so I kind of touched on this when we started talking in the beginning, but I'm like, Saquon's a nice story, but I am fixated on the QB position in Cleveland. And I don't know if it's because it's Hard Knocks and they do such a wonderful job putting it together. I think it's Liv Schreiber, he does the voiceover for the show, but something is selling me Baker Mayfield right now. And I'm normally like anti-Baker Mayfield, but the dude is just smart. Like, outside of his antics off the field, he's a smart dude. And I don't even think it's a competition between him and Tyrod Taylor. So I want to see Baker Mayfield absolutely tear it up. And it hurts me to say that, trust me. But he's a G. Like, I honestly think he's going to be a long-time quarterback in the NFL. And it's not just what I've seen on Hard Knocks. I honestly think that he's got a big chance, and maybe to help Cleveland out, but we'll see.
Okay, now, does it factor at all to you that Hugh Jackson came out today and said he does not plan to give Baker Mayfield a single first-team rep in this preseason?
No. I know Hugh Jackson just from his character on the show and, you know, obviously when he got hired in as the coach. But I'm not surprised like that. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's been around longer than Baker Mayfield. You don't just put down a golden carpet for someone to walk in and run the team, Crosby. But Baker's got to earn it. And football is very much like earn your deal out there. So I don't got problems with that at all. None of this matters until it actually becomes the first week in the regular season. And that's when people are going to start saying, this is my game plan. I'm putting that product on the field. And Baker's going to be on that field.
Okay, fair enough. Russ, who for you is the guy you're kind of fixated on?
Well, first off, I've listened to 9 months of Justin bashing Baker Mayfield at every step. And now he's on the train? What happened?
I think it's the beard. We're beard buddies. He grew a beautiful beard.
You watched Hard Knocks a couple times, and you saw he had facial hair, and you're going to throw away 9 months of vitriol? What happened? I don't get this, man.
It's all about the presentation, my friend. They did a good job, and that beard is immaculate. So
well,
I
heard
think
it here first.
That's
the way to Justin's heart. Go on a so-so TV show and grow some facial hair. That's all it needs. Anyways, the two guys that I'm looking for is one guy had a decent week, and the other guy, I'm looking for him to do a whole lot more. But the first guy is Mike Gallup down in Dallas. They don't have much at wide receiver.
No,
they got like Allen Hurns, they have Terrence Newman, and then it's a whole bunch of rookies and guys you haven't really heard of. I think Cole Beasley's there too, but he's also he has a budding rap career. So do with that what you will. But Gallup, 6'1", 205, he's a third-round pick. He had one catch for 30 yards and a touchdown in the first preseason game. If someone's actually going to become a actual, you know, like fantasy-relevant wide receiver in that offense, it's going to be one of the rookies. And Gallup's the guy that I'm looking to try and get that foothold in a starting spot.
Okay.
The other guy is Nyheim Hines out of Indy. Marlon Mack's dealing with a hamstring issue, so that backfield is wide open right now.
Yes, it is.
And we're talking about like a smaller speed guy he's supposed to do more in the passing game, but he had no receptions in the first preseason game. He did almost nothing on the ground. He had 3 carries for 7 yards. And he mishandled 2 punts. He's a guy that was talked about maybe stealing the starting spot from Marlon Mack, but, man, did he have a rough start. So I'm looking for him to improve and really see if he can live up to even half the hype that was put on him.
Okay. I like those. Those are two that are actually, you know, their play could be very effective to them making teams and being contributors. So I like that. For me, the first one I think is just very intriguing because it's very, like we said last week, that Cousins, and Cousins was playing against Denver, and it was, you know, that little battle of, like, the former quarterback coming in and playing against his old team. It was kind of enticing to see Case Keenum. But for me, this one's a little more like that. It's the guy who was the number one overall pick playing against the guy who, for the longest time, was considered to be the number one quarterback available. That's Josh Allen versus Baker Mayfield. I think this one's going to be fun to watch because I have to assume the entire second half is pretty much just going to be those two going after each other. And I'd like to see who wins in that. I personally think it'll be Baker, but to see those two potentially have a chance to go shot for shot against each other in the second half of a preseason game, to me, is just a highlight of what could be down the road. Because as I've said, I think Josh Allen or potentially Sam Darnold are my two picks to probably be the starting quarterback in their respective cities in week one. So that one I think would just be very, very entertaining to watch if it plays out that way. The only other one for me is a guy who will not be the starting player at his position this year. He'll be nothing but a gadget guy, but I didn't get a chance to see last week, and I'm curious to see this week how they use him. That's Lamar Jackson for Baltimore. They're playing the Colts, and I just think it'll be entertaining to see because the guy's a hell of an athlete, former Heisman Trophy winner. I'd just be interested to see how they use him because Joe Flacco's there. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be that quarterback in that city for a little bit of time to come. I know Russ has some less than favorable opinion of this man, but let's be honest, Russ. He's got a Super Bowl. He's in Harbaugh's favor. So I think as long as Harbaugh is calling the shots there, Flacco's got his job. So
I don't know, my friend. I don't know.
We will see. Because he's another guy who Jalen Ramsey does not think very highly of. So
that was one of the few things that I agreed with Jalen Ramsey about.
So for me, it's Lamar Jackson. I think that's entertaining to see how these guys who, because to me, Lamar Jackson shouldn't be an NFL quarterback. I think the athleticism's there. I don't think the arm is there. So to see how they use him, whether it's going to be wildcat or read option, or if they're really going to say, hey, you're going to fake it, and we want to see you heave it downfield. I'd be interested to see how he does with that. So those are just a few for me that I think would be entertaining to see. Moving on, because fantasy football is coming up, it's approaching. I think we've got our draft here in a couple weeks, right, Commissioner?
Yeah, if everyone starts participating, yes, we will.
Well, if our commissioner was a little more organized, we would probably know about these things in a lot more timely manner. Since we haven't drafted yet, we're safe. But we're going to talk about a little something about the people who have drafted already and how screwed they are. Because in week one, Washington running back Darius Geis tears everything. Done for the year. Knee is just completely gone. And I would like to make a point. Is it just me, or do you not want to go to Washington because your knees are going to get messed up? Darius Geis, a couple years ago, RG3 tears both knees, like in the same season. Washington is not a good place for your knee. Because look at Joe, what's his name? Joe Theismann, when Lawrence Taylor hit him. Well, you make that noise, but knees. It's the dead zone for knees, in my opinion. But we'll get back to reality now here. He goes down. Correct me if I'm wrong here. He was probably going to be on some people's draft boards for this upcoming fantasy football season.
Oh, he was one of the hottest, rookie sleepers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can even call it a sleeper with all the attention he was getting.
Yeah. So, if you've drafted already, your season could be in some serious jeopardy. So, my lead up, because I'll let you two do this, because when it comes to fantasy football, I had a hot year last year, but I had a lucky year last year, I'll be the first to admit. So, I'm going to ask these to you guys, because you guys have had a little more experience with it, done a little more often. The first question has to be, though, even though he's a rookie, what does the season-ending injury to Geis do to fantasy football drafting for leagues?
So if you're smart, it does absolutely nothing. If you're smart, you haven't drafted yet. You don't draft until after the third week of the preseason for exactly this reason. We see it every single year. Everyone gets really excited, and you draft too early because you got to have your team, and then the preseason is not even over and you're down a starter or two. Completely avoidable, but it happens every single year. So what does it do? It reminds you that you need a backup plan. and make sure you're drafting depth. But God, worst case, it ruins your season because you couldn't wait a week or two.
Fair enough. Jay?
So I don't draft running backs as it is. So this one isn't really a problem for me. But all it does is it makes you avoid anything Redskins running back. You're not going out there grabbing Chris Thompson or Rob Kelly or Capri Bibbs. Like, if you need to go look up those names and you think you're going to draft them to put them on your team, well, you just lost your league. Don't draft running backs, and especially don't draft a Redskins running back right now, because Geis's torn ACL is basically what they have left on their roster for running backs. So you avoid it. You maybe grab a kicker first before you even touch a running back.
Oh,
this sounds like
proven method.
This sounds like the NFL version of the Tony method of drafting goalies early and often. So I don't know. Folks, don't read a lot into that. We are still trying to balance out Justin's medication. We don't know what's real and what's not coming from him. But
not guaranteed advice. You'll get your money back if it doesn't work.
Fair enough. I'm going to hold you to that. But as a follow-up question to that, because we've discussed it in the text, you know, in texting throughout the week. Potential landing spot for Ameer Abdullah if we can swing the trade to be in our favor?
I mean, I'm
quite fine with that. If that's the case, I'll help him leave. Ameer Abdullah got his chance. He scored that one run touchdown in San Diego, and after that, he was fumbling the ball. His time is done. So could he go there? Of course, and I'd be okay with that, even if it's for potential prospects down the road, getting better draft picks, upgrading something currently on the roster. We have a redundancy in running back, and if he went to Washington, I probably still wouldn't draft him, but I'm okay with him leaving.
Okay, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Jay should start a moving company with all the Detroit athletes he's ready to see.
He's ready
out
to get everybody out of here if they want to go.
You could put you all out of business just if you move these people that you're ready to get rid of. But if I'm the Lions, yeah, sure. If Washington comes knocking, or maybe I'm calling them. But if I'm Washington, I don't want him, because then I have to give up an asset for someone that next year is completely expendable. Because you bring Ameer Abdullah in there, and it's just a one-year deal. Because next year, Geis will be back. Rob Kelly is still going to be there and be more of a power threat than Abdullah. Chris Thompson is still going to be there and still be more of a receiving threat than Abdullah. So you're talking about him being the fourth running back yet again. So you're either paying him to sit there and do nothing, or you gave up an asset to sit there and do nothing, or he's not on your team anymore. So just wait. There'll be other talent that's cut. Take a flyer on someone else where you don't have to give up an asset.
Okay.
Unless you want to do the Lions a solid, and then, you know, I'll take whatever you can give us.
Yeah, honestly, the solid would be great. We're speaking to you, Jay Gruden. Just a solid. Whatever you're feeling.
Yeah.
Let us know. Next question is for Justin. And, Justin, I know you, so I'm going to ask. I need a sincere answer here. Okay?
Well, that was a big word. Try again.
Okay. I need an honest answer. No sarcasm.
Okay. Do honest here?
No, we don't do honest here, but we're going to try. Justin, this is a pretty easy question, but it's a curious question for, you know, maybe a new someone new to fantasy. What to you is the borderline injury where you're willing to take the risk on the draft? Like, is it someone who's, you know, like if you're going to draft and you see a guy is day-to-day, or, you know, you read up and he's got like a 2-3 week injury going into the season? Still someone worth taking the risk on, or do you need everyone to have, you know, clear bill of health from day one?
They just got to be proven. Like, I'm not taking someone who's got an injury that I don't know their track record of what they're at, because, you know, certain injuries, you're going to come back at different speeds. And, you know, I mean, like Carson Wentz, no one knows what he's going to be like coming back from that, but we have a proven record of what he's done.
Okay. Well, fair trade-off. Who, you go to draft in a couple weeks. Julio Jones, out for at least 4 weeks with a, you know, shoulder. Is that a risk worth taking? Or is that something where you don't think there's – the 4 weeks is just too much ground to risk on?
You're not winning your championship in the first 4 weeks. You're taking him and you're stashing him, and he's going to carry you to the promised land in the playoffs. Okay. I'm all about the long haul. You don't worry about losing the first couple weeks here and there. You hang on to your assets, and then it gets you – you know, he'll be that much healthier – when his week one is the league's week five. So I'm taking hurt people like that all day long.
Okay. Russ?
As someone who drafted Andrew Luck last year, yeah, I've got some tolerance for drafting injured guys that hopefully will be there when it matters most, kind of like what Jay was saying. The only exception for me is if you're going to miss multiple weeks at the beginning of the year with a hamstring injury, because that lingers, and that, especially like a running back, that's going to take away power. That's going to the rate of recurrence for those are much higher than you'd think. So if you have someone that's already dealing with a hamstring injury, only 16 short weeks, there's a good chance he's not going to be fully back by the end of the season. But barring that, I mean, quarterback, if he's out to about 6 weeks, I'll take a shot because I think I can fill that spot until he comes back. Running backs, receivers, about 3 to 4 weeks I'm okay with because, hey, I can fill that. That's not too much of the season. But tight ends, if it's not Gronk, Kelsey, or Ertz, I'm not taking them. I used to fall on the sword with Eifert year after year, thinking, he'll come back in the second half, right? And he never did.
Yeah.
There's the top three in tight end, and then there's practically everyone else. There's enough that you don't have to gamble with these injured guys. The upside just isn't there to bank and sit on a guy that you could just be streaming another option for weeks.
That seems to make sense. That actually seems to be a logical opinion. So,
all right. Well, thank you.
I'll count it. I will count it. Russ wins this round. Sorry, Justin.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I won.
And then lastly for you guys, Justin, I understand you won't answer this one honestly because you don't want to give away anything. But for you guys, who to you is that rookie or even second-year player that you see as being a potential breakout player in fantasy football this year? Russ?
So I tried to stay away from the obvious ones like Saquon Barkley, Rashad Penny, Royce Freeman, Patrick Mahomes, because, A, everyone knows them, and it'd be a little bit boring for me to just spout that up back off to you.
Yeah.
So I dug a little deeper. I tried to look for guys that are kind of the where opportunity meets talent kind of guys. You know, that's where you expect breakouts to be. And I landed on a rookie, Christian Kirk, out of Arizona. Over 200 targets left that Arizona offense this offseason. And they only really filled it back up with draft picks. Principle of that being Christian Kirk. So he's got a very clear path to be starting opposite Larry Fitzgerald in that offense that he doesn't even have to be that stellar. There's a ton of targets. If the guy can come down with 60, 70 catches, that's somebody we're going to be talking about. And then my other guy is along the same lines of not being too tough of a path to starters carries is Corey Clement out in Philly. Didn't have a huge role last year, but he averaged 4.3 yards per carry. He had 6 touchdowns. They lost Blunt, and they don't have a surefire running back one. I'm not sold on Jay Ajayi. There's a reason that Miami got rid of him for a 5th-round pick, and there's a reason that Philly really didn't utilize him in a workhorse-type back. Philly themselves, they threw for 79% of their touchdowns were through the air. That is way too high of a rate. It's not sustainable. They're going to rush for more touchdowns this year. And Corey Clement proved last year that he can be their touchdown guy.
Okay. I like it. Those are good ones right there. Jay, what do you got for us?
So it's funny you mentioned the name Christian because where I'm going is Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
I'm a huge Cam Newton fan, so for selfish reasons, obviously I want to see Cam succeed. I feel like you guys always shit on him and don't give him enough props to where he should be at. But their O-line is horrendous, and it's banged up, and I know it's probably not going to happen, but the Christian McCaffrey I saw at Stanford is not the Christian McCaffrey I've seen so far with the Panthers. So if they can solidify that O-line some more, they need a running game. Like, they absolutely need – it's like how the Lions didn't have a running game, so it's predictable that Stafford's going to, you know, chuck it 30 yards down the field or check down to someone. They need a running game to balance out that offense out there, and I would love nothing more to see Cam Newton win more games. So Christian McCaffrey, I would love – even though it's probably not going to happen, I would love to see him step up and actually play like he was supposed to be.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it. For me – I'm going into the NFC North, and I'm not leaving. Two guys. One is a Lion. I'll wait on that one, though. The guy for me, and this is, I don't think this one's going to be met with a lot of favorite, but I'm going to go with Mitchell Trubisky. I think that Trubisky is going to take a step forward this year. We've already seen he can run the ball when he needs to. He can make, he can buy time. He's got another year under his belt, a little more time to get comfortable with that, with his teammates. And I, you know, last year I saw a lot out of him. I saw him earn that second overall pick. I saw him earn being taken as high as he was taken. So I think he's gonna, you know, he's gonna come out of, he's gonna be a great late round pick for someone who I think is gonna pay out a lot more than we expect. The other guy is, it's not Kerryon Johnson, unfortunately. I wish it was. I really wanted it to be. But, and again, not one I think you guys are going to really agree with me on, but from seeing firsthand and just understanding, you know, the use for him, I'm going to go with Kenny Golladay. I think that the Lions are going to, I think he's going to take another step forward and be all that more important to us. Because as I said, I said this a couple weeks ago. I honestly think by the end of this year, Golladay will be the number two receiver on that team. I really do. I think that people are really high on Marvin Jones right now because he had a really hot year. A lot of people don't remember the fact that he had a garbage year the year prior. So until I see like two consistent years of productivity, you're going to be there. You're going to be effective. It's just how effective you're going to be. I think Golladay is going to take that next step, push these guys for playing time, and when he gets his playing time, I think he's going to be effective. I really do. And my other guy was going to be Saquon Barkley, but that's an obvious pick. So we'll stay away from that. So those are mine. Don't listen to a word I said. If you draft the way I just told you to, you're probably going to lose. So, all right, folks, it's a moment you've been waiting for. Been leading up to this for months. Get your dinner plates out. We're going to pull out the salt for you. Gonna make it nice and salty. Justin, you've got 60 seconds of salt. Go ahead, get salty. Go.
All right. I'm gonna start these off with questions because I feel like that's what triggers saltiness all over the table.
Absolutely.
Why in the goddamn world does DTE need to pay for press? And when I say that is they're representing the Lions with their new DTE package of reduced concessions. Why do they need press? Why does a commodity of energy need press? It doesn't make me want to buy a light bulb. It doesn't make me want to pay a bill any quicker that I have no control over. And I'm sure as shit not erecting a windmill in my yard to cut down on energy costs. So why the shit do I need to go have a hot dog or a beer at a football game and have to think of DTEs connected to it? They should be spending their time and their money fixing all their outages and all their downtime. They've got more downtime than the Wings do in April. All DTE does is collect a check from me once a month. They have downtime on their services, and I go to check their outage map, and it looks like seven different Slurpee colors are sitting on the screen of my phone. I don't understand why they have to pay for press. They're DTE. They control what they have, and no one else is taking that from them. And now when I go to the Lions game this Friday and I buy that $3 beer in the power hour for the silver savings, I have to be reminded of a shitty electrical company, and that is why I'm salty.
Wow. Well, kids, you got extra 20 seconds in there of salt, but that was perfect. That was beautiful. Justin, I'm with you on this. But unfortunately, sports is no longer pure. It's all for marketing and for advertising and getting your name as many times as you can on the boards around Joe Louis or hanging on the, you know, hanging in the rafters and all that. And literally every commercial break and every, you know, every halftime break or something is sponsored by someone now. And it's just, it's a little nauseating. It really is. So I like
it. But when I go to a Wings game and I see Meijer or Kroger sitting there, I'm going to get groceries. My kids need milk. I need to bring home the bread for my family. When I see DTE, I'm not doing shit. Like, I it just baffles me that they spent money to pay for something that's not going to trigger anything for anybody.
Okay. So what you're like, you know, so common denomination here. You're telling me that for you, if we put MGM Grand and Bazookies on the boards at Joe Louis, there's only two things you would do with the rest of your day?
I mean, that's the whole point of advertising, though. I'm not speaking on what I would do, but that's okay. Eric and Russ.
Yeah.
DTE. What are you doing? DTE is telling you, hey, come spend $3 on Bud Light crap water. What are you doing because DTE is telling you to do it?
I'm going to go get a Bud Light, but I'm not going to think one second about DTE doing it. That's the same as like when the Tigers do the wall side windows pitching change. My first thought isn't, damn, I got to get a new window. Like, it's not, it doesn't go through me that way. I see what you're talking about, and I see that, like, I understand you're where you're coming from. But to me, the sponsor is very rarely, if ever, connected in my brain to what I'm going to do. That's just me.
Yeah, and
that's everything for me.
I'm on Google right now trying to figure out who would even be the alternative to DTE. Like, even if I want, if like Mom and Pop Energy Pop came up and they did the Power Hour instead, like I wouldn't even recognize them.
I know who they are though. There's Dylan Energy, there's Constellation Energy. From what I do for a living, which I wish this is what I did for a living. I know what else is out there, but it's just like when you have such a corner on the market, and to me it's not a good business move. Like, screw getting a beer, and like you said, wall side windows. That just reminds me, hey, when fall comes, I need to wrap a window so I don't have a draft, so my wife's not cold at night. Like, that made a train reaction in my brain to go do something. DTE, it's a complete roadblock for me. I just don't get it.
What a considerate husband!
Wow,
you're watching the Tiger game and you're thinking about taking care of your woman. Well done.
Always. Family first, my friend.
And with that note, we're never letting Aaron listen to this podcast ever again.
Eric's losing points and he doesn't even know why.
Well, think about it, Russ. I've lost in every way. If Aaron listens to this podcast, she, one, hears that Justin's a considerate husband. I got to make up in that. But two, he just, after months of belittling, said nothing but kind things about the man my wife loves most, Baker Mayfield. I'm screwed. Justin, you got a second wife.
Yeah,
hey, I'm bald and short. I got to make up ground somewhere.
Fair enough. Oh. Ouch. That got depressing. Okay. All right, well, let's keep this moving along, because we could honestly talk about marketing and what we could come up with crazy ways to annoy Justin with this one, and we probably will later on. But for right now, we're going to keep going. Since we've got a few weeks of the preseason left, our thoughts were, let's break down each week. We're going to break down one division of the AFC, one division of the NFC, and just kind of give our thoughts on where we're at with this. So leading it off, we'll let Justin go first here. Justin, the NFC East, consisting of the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Redskins. What I want to know is, how do you think the division is going to fall? Who's numero 1, 2, 3, and 4? And then give me the two teams you would pick in that division to make the playoffs.
All right, so I'm going to start from the top down. I've got Cowboys at 1. I know they have question marks on wide receiver, but it is the least amount, it's the smallest question mark across that portion of the NFC East, because the Skins need to figure out how they're going to run the ball. The Eagles need to see how Wentz is going to come back from his injury. And like Russ is alluding to on the amount of touchdowns by the air, people are going to figure out a way to stop that. So they need to develop a better run game. And the Giants are just a sinking ship. I mean, I don't know what the Giants are. Saquon's great. Odell is a diva. And he's Eli Manning. He's won a Super Bowl, yes, but he's like Joe Flacco. He's won, but cool, what have you done for me recently? So the smallest question mark for me is the Cowboys. They have a proven running game. They have a proven quarterback. I like Dak, even though I know a lot of people shit on him. If they can figure out their wide receiving corps that they have, they'll be the top dog in the NFC East.
Okay, I like it. Russ, what do you got for us?
Well, I'll start from the other way at the bottom so that me and Justin can start off talking about the same team. I think the Cowboys are going to be the worst team in this division. They lost Jason Witten. They don't have Dez, which, A, probably isn't as big of a negative as it seems. But outside of having a really good offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know what else this team has. Like, Dak's okay. He's a starting quarterback, but he's not taking you to the promised land. I've talked enough about the receivers, and their defense is okay at times, but Rod Marinelli's still their defensive coordinator. And the stink of the 0-16 season will forever be on him.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not sold with them. I mean, I can see them jumping up to three, mainly because I think the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington are all kind of all grouped together, kind of, and probably be between 6 and 8 wins, most of them, if not all of them. I just see them all as kind of like okay. Third I have is Washington. I mean, they did the Smith and the Cousins flop there. I think they might benefit from Smith just because they will finally have some consistency and they know who's going to be their quarterback next year and won't have to deal with that drama. But especially after the Geis injury, they're going to need Doxson to step up at wide receiver and finally prove out some of his potential. And maybe Jordan Reed, you know, stay healthy for like 3 or 4 games. That could help. If he doesn't, there's still Vernon Davis, who, let's not forget, had a tremendous connection with Alex Smith back when they were both 49ers. So this is a team that'll be sneaky okay, I think. I mean, they went 7-9 last year. I can see 7-9, 8-8 again. That should be enough to at least get them in the 3 spot in this division. Second, I've got the Giants. Somewhat surprisingly, even to myself, I really like their defense. I'm not a huge fan of Eli, but Pat Shurmur's been able to get the most out of okay quarterbacks, and they've got 2 difference makers at wide receiver and running back. So in a division that 8 wins could get you in second place, I think, I can see the Giants getting to second place. And then the only one left, you know, top, I think the Eagles are just going to run roughshod through this division. They pretty much any part of it except for very few things, like they do better than almost everyone in that division. They have a better defense. They have a better team running game, even though they do not have the best running back. They have a better passing attack, even though they do not have the best wide receiver. This is a team that probably comes down from their 13 wins, but still they're only going to need 9-10 wins to win this division.
Okay. I mean, long story short, I agree with Russ. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I really do. To me, this division is a two-team race. The only other team that I would even put remotely in the running with them, and it's a long shot running, is the Giants. Just because the Giants, for all intents and purposes, appear to have their little trio built with Eli, Odell, and now Saquon, and of course they have other pieces to plug in. But the Eagles the Giants would have to play lights out this year, in my opinion, to be able to keep up, because the Eagles didn't lose a lot. And they have a backup quarterback that's going to be their starter to start the year until their, you know, future of the franchise is ready to go. But even he's not he's proven he can win games when you need him to. So I think Philly's going to walk away with this one, unfortunately. Cowboys. Come on, Jake. The Cowboys? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I didn't even like Russ's point about Jason Witten, because Jason Witten wasn't even there last year. I mean, he was, but he really wasn't. Invalid
point. But at least there was somebody who could catch the ball on that offense.
They'll figure it out. They're the Cowboys.
Okay.
Okay, man.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Russ. Well,
no rationale behind it.
No rationale. All right, Russ, you just got done giving us your spiel on the NFC East. Let's go over to the AFC East. Who you taking numero uno there?
Oh, the Pats.
Yeah, one should be 1, 2, 3, but
yeah, it'll be like Pats and then like a big old gap, and then everybody else.
Okay.
I mean, I've got them just in order quick. I've got Dolphins 2, Jets 3, Bills 4. I really think this is the year that we find out that Tyrod Taylor, he was more valuable to that team than they were willing to admit. He helped them more to that 9-7 record than he'll probably ever get credit for. They replace him with A.J. McCarron, who, I mean, good on him. He's real confident that he can be a starting quarterback. I'm not sold. and Josh Allen, if you believe Jalen Ramsey, he was a waste of a pick. We'll see. He's a rookie quarterback, and he doesn't really have a lot to help him out. He's got Kelvin Benjamin, who I won't even say hi to Cam Newton because apparently that's his attitude. And J.D. McCoy, who, while talented, is getting up there in age and might not even be playing based on how his legal concerns go out. Jets-Dolphins are kind of interchangeable. I give the Dolphins the edge just because I like Tannehill more than I like anyone the Jets can throw out there. And Frank Gore, the ageless wonder, is now back in Miami where he went to college. And I've picked against him for like 3-4 years, and I've been wrong every time, so it's about time that I finally just get on the wagon.
Okay.
So, yeah, Pats, Dolphins, Jets, Bills. That's fair. My picks.
Fair enough. Jay, who you got?
I went to go use my notes on my phone to do all this stuff, and I went to go type in AFC East, but every time I put East, it just said AFC Pats.
Yeah.
So I'm having some malfunctions over here.
That's actually real.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Russ, I couldn't tell if you were giving me a breakdown of 2018 or 2012 for the AFC East. So it's a slam dunk. I mean, I was looking at the quarterbacks of every single team, and I know there's some young dudes that got drafted teams in there, but it doesn't matter. I mean, begrudgingly, it's Tom Brady's division, his conference, it's almost his league.
There has been talks about renaming it the AFC Brady division.
Brady.
Yeah, it's still up for speculation. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste time. I mean, it's the path. It's the path to lose. So
okay.
That's what it is.
That's more than fair. Obviously, I picked the Pats. I don't think there was much of a debate there. My only thing, and Russ, I think this one's going to kind of conflict with you.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Bills going numero two.
Really?
I do. I think the talent's there. I watched some of that game when they played Carolina, and I liked some pieces I saw. As I said before, I think Josh Allen's going to walk into that starting spot by the end of the preseason. I think they're going to realize, oh yeah, that McCarron thing wasn't really what we thought it was going to be. Let's just throw Josh Allen in there and see what happens. I think he's going to be the starter there. I really do. For me, I have it actually going Pats, Bills, Dolphins, Jets. I think the Jets are a dumpster fire that there's no point in even putting out now. Just let it burn. Let it burn for as long as it can burn and then start, you know, rebuilding. Because, again, I think he... Sam Darnold, another guy who's probably going to be the starting quarterback week one, because outside of Teddy Bridgewater, they don't really have much. Josh McCown has literally played for every team in the NFL by now. They did a they did like a little ESPN series on him. He has more jerseys than you can imagine because of that. Like, he's literally, like, he's played for everyone. Everyone.
Isn't this the guy that has, like, an extra, extra, extra long neck?
I think so. He's the guy that he was so good at quarterback. We brought him in to be the starting quarterback for the Lions, and then we signed another guy and made Josh McCown a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Josh McCown.
I forgot about that.
John Kitna. We brought him in to be our starter and then signed John Kitna to be the backup 3 days later, and Kitna beat him out for the spot. That's the year Kitna passed for like 5,000 yards. That was like the first time we had a 5,000-yard passer in the NFL, in Lions history, because all we could do was throw the ball. We had no running game at all. We literally threw the ball 50 times a game. And, yeah, we put Josh McCown at wide receiver. So,
jeez.
Yeah, so, and Teddy Bridgewater, don't get me wrong, Teddy Bridgewater was great. Then he snapped his leg in half and was told he was never to play football again. So to see him start would be great. It would be a great story. But I just think you drafted Sam Darnold. You gave him the contract. You know what you're getting. You know what you're doing. Just like it almost feels like a Browns mistake, but the difference is the Browns seem to be the only ones not making that mistake. They have no expectations of Baker Mayfield seeing the field this year. Tyrod Taylor's the man, and I watched that Hard Knocks episode too. I don't see any reason Baker should play. Tyrod Taylor looked good to me. He looked like a guy who should be the starting quarterback for that team. And I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. So, yeah, but honestly, it's the Pats. It's the Pats. And then maybe the Pats, because no one else in that division is worth anything. Just because I say the Bills are going to be number two doesn't mean I don't think the Bills are going to have like a 5-11 record. So it's one of those things where it's a bad division, and Patriots have been able to capitalize on it. They really have.
Oh, yeah. Seven wins.
Can I make a quick correction?
Absolutely.
It was totally Mike Glennon I was thinking about with the long neck. I don't know. He did Josh McCown, and I thought about the dude with the giraffe neck.
He played with Mike Glennon, I think, because he was on Tampa for a couple times. So I feel bad for the guy. I mean, the guy literally has never been able to establish himself anywhere, and he's been the starter everywhere he's went and lost the job to someone. So, at some point you would think, hey, signing this guy means that your other – He's almost like, for the longest time, I had the theory that if you sign Drew Bledsoe to your team, the next guy is going to be great. Because you get Drew Bledsoe on the Patriots, Tom Brady comes along. Drew Bledsoe leaves, goes to Dallas. Tony Romo comes along. He leaves, goes to the Bills. The Bills proved me wrong because J.P. Lossman was the next quarterback. But for a while there, it looked like if you sign Drew Bledsoe, your next quarterback's going to be a humdinger of a quarterback. That's the opinion I was given. So, all right, I know this one's going to be good.
So you think he's Chuck from Good Luck Chuck, basically?
Sort of, yeah. You get him in there one time, the next one's a winner.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I don't have the guy's exact, like, steps along the way. But to be fair, he was in Arizona right before Kurt Warner. Now, not to say Kurt Warner wasn't already in the league, but he was in Arizona right before Kurt Warner. Just a few teams I know. He was in Detroit right before Matthew Stafford. He was in Chicago right before Trubisky. He was in Tampa Bay. Not that I think this guy's a good quarterback, but most people seem to. He was in there right before Jameis Winston. He's been on all these teams right before the next big name for them happened to be there.
He was with Cleveland with Johnny Manziel.
Well, and that's what I said. Just like I said, the J.P. Lossman Bills thing was the handicap to my Drew Bledsoe theory. I'm not saying everyone's a winner, but he's been on a lot of different teams. I'm almost positive he was on Oakland right before Derek Carr. So,
he was in Oakland 2007.
Okay, so not right before Derek Carr, but he 2006. I was gonna say that might be right before Jamarcus Russell. So
I'm still stuck on the fact that you said the word humdinger. To be honest, I can't believe anything you just said because you just uttered the word humdinger.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, we take away your young guy card and it invalidates your argument. Good job.
Yeah, very well. Very well done. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I got to thank these two. These two. This isn't their job. They have real jobs, real lives, and they still come on every week with me, and we always seem to have a great time with it. Russ Ivanek is literally keeping the paper companies in business with all the notes he takes for us. So I got to thank you, Russ, for doing this. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Wait, is this not real life? Is this just a fantasy?
Oh, my God. And Russ will no longer be on the show, everyone. We're holding...
Worth it.
Yeah, we're holding auditions for replacements. So... thanks to Russ Ivanek.
Yep, thanks, buddy.
Yep. Justin Marcus, thank you for doing this, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Hey, at least I know I'll have a job here, so I'll never be able to work for DTE.
Oh, obviously, yeah. DT is going to hear this, and you're on their blacklist, so you're always welcome here. Even though neither of us ever agree with you, you're always welcome here.
I like those working conditions. I can do this.
All right, sounds good. And I'm Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.